News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Here we go, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. And the text line is alive and well this morning for sure, 251-343-0106. Most of the conversation, pretty civil. Couple of dissenters in there trying to start something.
We love dissent here, though.
I guess that's what we're here for, I suppose. Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com and the Washington Examiner joins us now. Quinn, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
So, Quinn, of course, a ton of things we can get into from the international scale all the way down to the local scale. But why don't we talk a bit about this 2024 legislative session that has now come and gone. Of course, the big wins, the GOP would consider school choice a big win this past session. And, of course, we had the IVF controversy that hit us just about a week in to the legislative session. But gambling was all the talk for most of this year, and we end another legislative session without gambling making it to the ballot this coming fall, even though they were trying to change it to a special election in September so that it would limit, I guess, the people coming out to vote for gambling in the general election. But your thoughts overall on gambling, once again, not making it through, and how long do you think it'll be before we see this come up again?
Well, it might not come up again for a couple of years because they pulled out all the stops this year and they failed, and the House Speaker said he didn't think there's much else they can do to get it passed. Frankly, that's fine with me. So, somebody, please explain to me, what benefit is it supposed to have for the state? If you legalize gambling, what it basically does is it drains money away from other more productive uses of the money. It impoverishes a lot of people, and it doesn't actually end up adding much to the state's coffers. Every other state says, oh, we're doing, okay, say they say they're doing an education lottery. Well, all they do is they put the lottery money into education, and then they don't put as much other money into education. And meanwhile, the amount of money that's generated from taxes outside of gambling goes down because so many people are wasting their money on gambling instead. So there's not much of a net plus. If you do the comparison of states that have gambling and states that don't have gambling, the revenues for the gambling states are not much higher. So what is the benefit to the state of having gambling?
So I was in the state of Georgia when they approved the lottery, and I don't really remember exactly how that all came about, but I remember that the idea was, you know, education, obviously. And I think that they have had some success in the state of Georgia because of the Hope Scholarship, which has put kids into colleges. I think that they have actually recognized that what they wanted to attain, they've attained it. Universities in the university system across the state are packed full of kids who've got this Hope Scholarship, and the University of Georgia itself, because everybody, that's where they want to be, but few can get in there. The university seems to be thriving. Do I have my facts wrong on all that, Quinn?
No, but basically Georgia could have done the same thing by dedicating revenues to Hope Scholarships anyway, because you're basically taking money out of one pot and putting it into another pot. I haven't studied Georgia specifically, but in most states, the rise in revenues, in state revenues that we've seen in the past several years, which of course has been, you know, sort of skewed by the amount of money coming in because of COVID relief and all of that, but basically the rise in revenues of gambling states and the non-gambling states hasn't been much different. So all they're doing is they're saying, okay, we are dedicating this stream of, call it lottery money, to Hope Scholarships. Well, good. But they don't have that much more money coming in. They're just they're just dedicating the stream, which they could have done before with other money that is coming in that now no longer is coming in because so many people are wasting their money on lottery tickets.
Well, and also, you know, you look at the other side of our state in Mississippi, and unlike a lot of states which go on 100% of the revenue or the profits into education, you know, Mississippi puts a lot of their gambling funds into the roads, $80 million a year. And I think a lot of people would say that's obvious once you cross over the state line that Mississippi has, in many cases, much better roads than Alabama. But, you know, this could have gone so many different ways. You look at what the House passed initially, which was about as close to full-scale gambling as we're going to get, with lottery, new casinos, expanding what PCI is allowed to do on their reservation casinos and giving them a fourth casino. Then with the Senate and how they cut it so far back, but there's a lot of people, Quinn, who are saying, I don't care about all of that stuff. I just want to vote on the lottery. And polls show that a majority of Alabamians want the right to vote on a lottery. So does the will of the people, how is that overridden by, well, we know these gambling interests that are playing Congress, but just telling people that, well, the money, it really doesn't make that big of a difference as far as, I mean, they had studies that showed up to $1 billion extra coming in with if gambling had been fully legalized in the state.
And those studies, I would say, in the real world have been proven to be bunk. I mean, again, Is Mississippi rolling in dough? You mentioned the Mississippi highways. Guess where that money came from? That came from the feds, and that came years ago when Mississippi's Trent Lott was Senate Majority Leader, and his partner, his Senate comrade, why am I drawing a blank on his name, who was there even before him, just drawing a blank on his name, was both the second-ranking Republican in the Senate and chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee. So they started sending federal money to build their highways. Their highways were built, that, you know, especially that one up the eastern part of Mississippi, which is almost never used. Their highways were built before they got the lottery. Now, granted, they've had gambling for a long time, but again, most of that money was federal.
Imagine that being a keen politician can help you raise money for highways and bridges and everything like that.
Yeah.
Thad Cochran, by the way.
It'd be
Thad
nice,
Cochran.
Right?
I was drawing a blank on Thad Cochran's name.
Yeah. We've got the Czar John Cooper threatening to hit a guy with a shovel. That's all. All right. So the future of gambling is just about dead, it seems, at least for the next several years. And you're on the record, you're okay with that.
I'm totally okay with that. Look, when I was research director for a race for governor of Louisiana back in '87 is when I did a deep dive into gambling then, and just determined that the problems that it brings outweigh the benefits. And I have in the last, 37 years not been disabused of that notion. I haven't seen anything to change my mind. Now, if you put a gun in my head and said you had to have one form of gambling, I'd say, okay, well, approve sports betting, because you don't need a new state bureaucracy to do that. Sports betting is available online all over the place anyway. You know, it's something that is just ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. And so you're not... You could find a way to, you know, put some tax on the betting if you allow it in, you know, online here in Alabama. I think most people actually probably find ways to do it anyway.
Probably.
But sports betting is something completely different from going to a casino and having, you know, possibly corrupt influences running the casinos, which, by the way, happens everywhere. Crime almost always rises when there are casinos. I could go on and on and on. The statistics are pretty bad.
Just your opinion on, I mean, the main argument here, and you made it there with sports gambling in a way, which I definitely do, right here in Mobile, Alabama, and I know hundreds of thousands of other Alabamians do the same, but even the lottery, I mean, We're landlocked in with lottery states, and all across the edges of our state, people are going across to buy lottery tickets. We've got people going to Biloxi every weekend to gamble there. Of course, you've got the casino in Atmore. I mean, there are many places that people can go gamble. And those people are saying, hey, Alabama's just not capitalizing on that. But you're saying the risk isn't worth the reward.
I don't think the risk is worth the reward. Now, look, I happen to not think that there's much you can do about what's going on the Indian reservations or the Indian lands because, you know, they do have some sovereign rights. And until somebody fully convinces me otherwise, I think what they have going, if not expanded, is something that you can't stop. So, you know, that's fine with me. But I don't think it's good for the state of Alabama. And I know I might be in a minority, although I've got to say, you know, 25 years ago when Siegelman, Governor Siegelman, put it on the ballot, did crooked stuff, by the way, to get it put on the ballot, he thought it was gonna make him really popular. He thought it was gonna pass easily, and lo and behold, it failed. Mm-hmm. So maybe there might still be a silent majority against it.
Before we go to the break, I want to get your take on this other story, and it's something we lived through and are living through here in Alabama as we head towards the election for AL District 2, and that's redistricting, which happened. Well, countrywide. I think Ohio, they had something going on. But
North Carolina.
Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals set to hear cases regarding redistricting in Texas and in Louisiana. Is this Louisiana case pretty similar to ours?
Well, it was somewhat similar in that the Alabama decision said that you had to have X percent of opportunity districts for a minority, meaning in this case black citizens. And so Louisiana was essentially thought it was being told by the courts that it had to do the same thing. But when it did what Alabama, what the court in Alabama ended up forcing Alabama to do, when Louisiana did something similar, lo and behold, a different panel of a different court said that, no, they had gone too far. So now they're completely up in the air because when they did try to draw a second black majority district because they were told that they had to, now they're told that because they made race the primary consideration, it's not allowable. Hmm. So you have to do it because of race, but you can't do it because of race.
Yeah.
So where is you know, where's the middle ground there? Now, I've got to say the Louisiana districts were even worse, even more bizarre than the terrible districts we've been stuck with in Alabama. But what it means is the Supreme Court has still failed to enact anything that anybody can understand in terms of their interpretation of the law. And so you have contradictory opinion or decision after contradictory decision coming in from different places around the country, and it's all a big mess. But meanwhile, Alabama is on the losing end of the mess because now we have people in Mobile having to have their same representative as a person from Phoenix City all the way across the state that has no idea about coastal issues, about the port, about the fisheries, or anything like that.
Very good, Quinn. On the way, we will discuss Biden and Israel and the politics at play in all of that as well. Straight ahead, it's 820 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan and Dalton. And feel free to text the show at 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 824 on Mobile Mornings. Dalton's online right now reserving my seat for his kid's show tonight. And I'm looking forward to that. Thank you for that.
No problem, man.
Quinn, Biden, and I know we got to get into this real quick. Biden and Israel and straddling the fence in a ridiculous posture, it seems.
He's straddling the fence of Gaza there.
He is. He is. And you know, yes, we are 100% behind Israel, 100% behind Israel. No, we're not going to allow those weapons in. It seems to be completely political. Where do you stand?
Well, it's inexcusable what he's doing. And the odd thing is he's not actually making it easier for Israel to limit the number of civilian casualties because the weapons, my understanding is, the weapons that he's denying are actually the more precision-targeted
right.
weapons that could be used without taking, you know, without knocking down surrounding buildings and killing more people. So he's not even coming close to achieving the ends that he wants, because in the end, Israel is not going to be dissuaded by the United States from doing what it needs to do. It'll just do it in a different way. And so what is he trying to accomplish other than, you know, trying to somehow appeal to these crazy young people who are pro-Palestinian?
Yeah.
You know, the ones who, by the way, are not... now, granted, there are pluralities who polls show are generically pro-Palestinian, but the numbers actually feeling strongly about it and protesting are actually a very small percentage. So, you know, he's pandering to these radicals, and he's tying the hands of an ally, which, by the way, I must stress, in urban warfare, this has been studied again and again and again. The number or the percentage of casualties that are civilian versus military or terrorist, you know, we know what the usual percentage is. We know what the civilian casualty rate was when the U.S. went into Mosul and when the U.S. went into the place in northern Iraq. We know what this is worldwide. Israel has actually had a smaller percentage of civilian casualties for urban warfare than at almost any other war in history. So it's not being indiscriminate. It is trying its hardest, and this is even though Hamas, of course, is using women, children, and hospitals as human shields.
Yeah, right. Israel's the best at this kind of warfare, mitigating those kind of deaths.
Well, and where are those stats? I'm just interested, because just looking at the numbers, and I know it comes from the Gaza Ministry of Health, but it looks like a lot of people are going with their numbers, and they're saying it's about 2-1 civilians to military.
Well, I just saw a headline this morning, didn't get to read the story that, by the way, in terms of women and children, the UN has now accepted that the percentage of women and children being claimed by the Gaza Ministry or whatever, that Gaza has doubled the accurate estimate. In other words, only half as many women and children have been casualties as the Palestinians have claimed. You can't trust the Palestinian numbers, but just Google it, because there's all sorts of stuff out there about the total number of casualties, which has been, the total percentage of casualties. It's been about 60-40 civilian to non-civilian, and in most wars, it's up at about 75-25 or something like that. Israel's doing all it can, but Israel has to take out Hamas's leadership, which, by the way, Biden should be sending in special forces to take out their leadership, not all their people, but say, we're going to go in and send special forces to take you out if you don't give up your American hostages.
Yeah, and you mean the leadership that's currently sitting pretty in Qatar, right?
Exactly. You should say, look, you want to sit in your hotel room in Qatar, we are going to take out that hotel or take out wherever you are, because we know where you are, unless you give us our hostages back.
Yeah, that's
five
a great,
of them.
Great
There's
point.
Been very little talk about our hostages on the stage, Corinne Jean-Pierre
doesn't
or
fit in.
Biden.
No, yeah, it's a bad subject.
Quinn, for folks who want to read you online, follow you on Twitter, how can they do so?
You can, once a week, you get an update if you sign up at QuinnHillier.com. You register for free, or just go to Google Quinn Hillier Washington Examiner, and you'll get most of it.
Thanks,
guys.
You got it, man. Thanks for the visit this week. It is 8:29 with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig in Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
KN 835 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by Tobias and Comer Law, the local personal injury law firm. And, they're fresh off of the senior showdown at the Lip last week, where, unfortunately, I'm saying this as someone in Mobile County, Baldwin County got the better of Mobile County in the senior showdown last week, the baseball game that was partially sponsored by Tobias and Comer Law.
I think they should look into the umps. What's going on here?
Exactly. Where did those umps come from?
We've got, Tobias, they're a law firm.
Yeah.
So if they have something crooked going on in the tournament that they sponsored, they'll get to the bottom of it. So heads up, Blue.
Right, exactly. Okay. But what a great event to get some of the seniors out there on the field last week, and worked out well. And now their focus turns to National Boating Safety Week, which is coming up next week. And I had a great conversation with Desi Tobias about this earlier this month. And they shot all these videos with ALEA Marine Patrol. And these are great to check out before you get out on the water, especially if you're a novice boater. So they give you all kinds of information about things you need to have on board your vessel and what you need to have prepared in case of an accident or in case you get pulled over by ALEA Marine Patrol. They shot all these videos with ALEA, and they're available on their website, TobiasComerLaw.com, along with all kinds of other great things like boating safety tips. And we have a great post on our Facebook page right now, too, where you can give advice to novice boaters before they hit the water. Tobias and Comer Law, they've helped get fair compensation for tons of people in our area, and they've been doing it for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. They'll help guide you through your case from the time you first talk till it's all over. They don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer you've never met who may not even be from the area. So check them out online, TobiasComerLaw.com. You'll also find their phone number there for a free consultation anytime, 251-432-5001. The number for the free consultation, 432-5001, TobiasComerLaw.com.
I guarantee, maybe I shouldn't say this, maybe I don't know for sure, but okay. I know how competent these people are down on Dauphin Street. I know they've been here forever, and there's some umpire background checks going on right now because I smell a rat. Go into the text line, 251-343-0106. Your friendly neighborhood banker says, reacting to what Quinn and we were talking about, I believe American citizens should be able to vote on anything and everything. Let the people speak. This is nothing short of communism to not be allowed to vote on gambling. Meanwhile, Gardner, he's coming in hot. Mm. He says, Quinn is such a rhino, R-I-N-O, all in caps.
Yes. And as far as the lottery gambling talk, and I agree with your friendly neighborhood banker, we can all see the different forces at play. And it's every time this comes up, and we've mentioned them ad nauseum, right? You've got PCI, you have the horse tracks, the dog tracks, whatever. You have the other casinos that have slot machines that aren't really slot machines. Are they legal? Are they not legal? We don't really know. You have outside interests, like outside of the state, who don't want to see Alabama legalize lottery or gambling because that keeps money from coming across the border.
Yep.
And it's just so transparent. And really, there's just a lot of people in Alabama who want to go to the store and buy a lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to it, you have people like Quinn. You have a lot of these legislators who, even if it's not their real reason, and for Quinn, I believe what he's saying. I believe he believes what he's saying. But for the legislators especially, just them trying to say they're saving us from ourselves, we're tired of that line. We're tired of it from the national level. We're tired of it at the state level. We're tired of it at the local level of being saved from ourselves. And that answer just doesn't fly anymore. And I think a lot of people are very upset that even though, let's just say lottery specifically, that it hasn't passed, when a majority of Alabamians at least want the right to vote on it. And now Jeff, Jeff Poore, he's right that what you're voting for, what we would have been voting for this coming fall, would give the legislature all kinds of power when it comes to the future of gambling in the state, and that's certainly something to look at. But the argument that comes down from a lot of these people is basically, you don't need lottery, you don't need gambling, stop asking for it.
Yeah,
because we're saving you from yourself.
So Quinn was talking about, well, the money that Georgia generated with the lottery, they call it, and it became the Hope Scholarship. And I think in Georgia, unless everybody has just been sold this bill of goods and they're just going along singing with the choir about how wonderful all is, I think that it has really worked out in terms of educating, giving kids an opportunity to get an education, a college education, when they otherwise simply would not have one. And you look at all the feeder schools, I guess you could say, around the state. They've all grown to the University of Georgia is bursting at the seams. Got to do, everybody likes a decent football team. That probably helps. But really, it's close enough to Atlanta. Maybe with the highways, it's even closer now. When I was there, it just felt like Atlanta was off in the distance. But now you're an hour and 15 minutes from Atlanta to Athens. And all the different schools around the state are bringing in all these kids who are, many of them, I found an op-ed here that was written in the Crimson and White at the University of Alabama. And this was 2016, a writer talking about he's from the state of Georgia, and he was able to receive his education, his undergraduate degree, for absolutely free. Imagine that. Imagine, putting your kids...
through a lottery scholarship.
Giving your kids the opportunity. Like, look, if you meet these thresholds here, you're going to go to college for free. And to this point, the writer says that over 3 million students had been given the Hope Scholarship. And I think in large part that is free education. Probably some are degrees of, getting close to free. But if you have all these kids have received these scholarships, it seems noble to me in the way that Georgia did it. Now, Quinn was saying it was a shell game. The money could have come from here or there or whatever. But they did it, and they dedicated the money to the Hope Scholarship and to higher education, and it seems to it's paid dividends.
And the thing that's difficult to gauge, and when you talk about reports, there's so many different reports out there that show what comes from, whether you're looking at an individual state or countrywide, what gambling brings to the table, the pros and the cons,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
But that is such a tough gauge of what the actual societal costs are. Because you could tell everybody, you could say, yeah, there's more people are losing their homes, losing the shirt off their back by gambling, and there's this much more crime. I just don't, those studies are, I think, too easy to slant.
Yeah, they just paint a narrative and you just buy it.
And
right?
It's the same on the other side, for the pro gambling thing. And so when you see all these different studies out there, I mean, they're coming from certain interests that want things to go a certain way.
Sure.
But it doesn't matter now, does it? It doesn't matter what we say because it's dead, at least for another year, unless for some reason there's a change of heart and governor decides to call a special session and they're able to get it done there. Go through the text line here. Texter says, what nobody seems to talk about is who goes to play the lottery or who goes to gamble. I know if I could get food stamps, I could afford to gamble. I think there are classes of gambling, right? The person you find on the high roller blackjack table might lose a lot of money, but they're probably going to go back home and in a nice car and sleep in a nice bed.
Yeah, they may have the money to lose.
The people you see on the penny slots or very often playing the lottery very often are not making nearly as much money. Yeah, year in and year out. That's just the thing they do. But to me, it all comes back to make personal decisions in your best interest. You got one kid in Georgia going to college. Well, maybe there's another family who, another person who spent all their money on lottery tickets. Here's the answer. Don't spend all your money on lottery tickets. Mm-hmm. But I know that's easy for me to say, right?
Yeah. And there's addictions that are weaved into this too. I think a lot of things we can look at places that are ahead of us. England, I think, is the example in sports betting, right? They opened that wide open, I think, 15 years ago. There have been some ills that have been found in sports betting, including, and I think this is the other shoe that's going to drop at some point, is scandal. There's going to be scandal within inside.
We've already seen it.
Athletics and intercollegiate athletics.
Yeah. I mean, there was an NBA player who spent time in the G League and in the NBA who bet against himself and then sat out, or so he made money.
Yeah.
You saw it with the Otani translator.
That's true.
And now they're saying that Otani knew nothing about that. And I tend to believe that Otani's a good guy, but that translator certainly had inside information that other people didn't
while
he was placing those big bets. It didn't seem to help him much because ton of money. There's already plenty of scandal.
And who knows? That would be the big scandal. That would be the one I'm talking about. Ohtani is the biggest star in the sport. And if they were to maybe look a little closer or time a little more closely to his interpreter and say, no, we don't quite see it that way. And if he if it was actually a scan, it was if it was Ohtani rather than him, that would be a huge scandal. And that's what so the way they're sweeping this away, to me, that's to the benefit of baseball. They're like, nothing to see here.
But you know who locks in on that stuff and stops it as fast as possible? The casinos.
Yeah.
If someone's getting something, getting one over on the casinos, they figure it out pretty dang quickly.
The Alabama baseball coach last year.
And he made it easy on them.
Yeah,
he did. There in the Cincinnati ballpark.
Yeah.
Where they had his, they could read his texts from the camera where they could see he was talking back and forth with the Bama coach, the guy that placed those bets.
Yeah.
But in the free market, you know, or when it's the casinos who are having one put over on them, whether it's from a translator or an NBA player, they figure it out once they see what's going on.
Yeah, they do. They know how to protect themselves.
And sports gambling, that's really, you know, even though it may be one of the more popular things, it's not the biggest money maker for casinos. Mm-hmm. Year in and year out, penny slots just bring in a ton of revenue because people just sit there all day like
and
cattle.
And that was
it over and over and over again.
That was the hideous, that was part of the, that was the part of the bill that was most distasteful for people like Senator Elliott. Like, you know, the proliferation of these things in the Black Belt and in the poor towns where people are just going to sit in front of those darn things and lose $100 here and lose $80 here. And it's insidious, those things. And I, you know, so I don't gamble. Maybe I mentioned this, but I did for just a little road trip. Went with some friends and no interest in it.
Here's what I did.
No interest, and I lost $100.
Right.
That was it.
Last time I went to Biloxi with the intent to gamble was years ago, probably. I mean, it was before Mississippi legalized sports gambling. So I went to the casino. My wife was on a work trip or something like that. I can't remember. They had a meeting over there. So I went to the casino, played slots a little bit. I'm like, this isn't that fun. I mean, it would have been if I'd hit a jackpot, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I thought about going over to the tables, but I was like, I don't know. That could be fun, playing some cards. I ended up just going to the bar and illegally gambling on sports in the Mississippi casino.
With your phone.
Yeah, with my phone. So now I could do it legally. But for everyone who does gamble on sports, and it's the offshore books who are, quote unquote, illegal, right? The people who are gambling are just dealing with them, as far as I understand.
Yeah.
The only difference it would make if sports gambling, and it could be a big difference, but if sports gambling were legalized in Alabama, first off, they'd have to say whether it would be whether you would allow mobile gaming, which would make it statewide. Wherever you are in your home, you could get on your phone and gamble on sports, or whether it has to be brick and mortar. Like, I think that's what Mississippi has, where you have to go into a casino to place a legal bet, or if you're on the premises of the casino, you can do it on your phone. But for people who are already gambling with offshore books, the only difference is you buy Bitcoin or something like that in order to get funding. If it were legalized in the state, you just put your credit card in, and I know that could make things much easier, which means you could spend more money more easily.
Yeah, no.
But that's the only difference. It's not like everyone who wants to gamble on a Bama game or an Auburn game is having to drive to Biloxi or you know, wherever the next closest sports game. Tennessee has online gaming. I think just it's so easy to gamble online these days that's what a lot of these older people are missing in Montgomery is people are going to do it. You're the one missing the boat.
Yeah.
And while you're missing the boat, we're missing the boat on extra funding. So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
how I feel about it.
Just the Poarch Creek Indians, the special interests with those small-time casino houses, whatever you want to call them, where no one's winning anything, but they're winning a power bill, not getting paid because they spent all their afternoon there. It was just all these different factions and factors across the state of Alabama. It's just it's almost doomed, or almost from the start. And yet, with all that being said, got within a vote. Did get within a vote.
One vote.
But didn't get over it. But it just seems like with everything that they've got to tend to politically, it's almost damn impossible.
Seems that way.
Yeah.
When we come back, a ton of texts to run through. Plus, we'll let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poarch Show after our show.
morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, and more live local talk on the way.
Jeff Poor coming up just after 9 o'clock. In hour number one, he'll have State Senator David Sessions. Hour number two, Paul DeMarco. And hour number three, ALGOP Chairman John Wall. Looking at the text line, Jerry says, Sean's idea about a prison lottery would be much better than the for the children argument. If you want to play the lottery, drive to Florida and buy tax-free groceries while you're there. Yeah, the prison, I mean, it would make more sense to put funding where you need it, right? But the only way lottery gets through in so many cases is for the kids, for the kids. And we've seen that, at least in Alabama, more money in schools does not seem to correlate to better schooling.
Mm-hmm.
I figure that out. Just dumping money in doesn't solve the problem.
Hadn't worked yet.
Really, the worst thing that could have happened to us, and you may disagree, but all this federal money that came to states, it was like if you got a massive check for Christmas or your birthday, and you spend it as if that check is just going to keep coming in every year,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't. It just comes in that one time, and you go start financing things, and then all of a sudden, the next year when you don't get that check, you owe all of this money on projects you've already begun or things you've already started financing.
You don't have the money.
Well, the state finds a way to get that money. And whether it's lottery, which is not going to be, they're going to raise taxes on you. And that's exactly what they've started trying to do here.
Well, they got to do something, Dalton. I mean, look, you got that. What was going to cost for two prisons is now going to, that's going to be the price tag for just one.
Right.
So now you have, another prison to build. We better figure something out here.
And you do that on projects across the state,
yep.
You know, road work, which price went up on that throughout COVID, all of these different construction projects that we've begun, and the price has gone up, and you don't have that same federal funding coming down. And then you've also made promises to all these different constituents, whether it's the teachers or mm-hmm. healthcare workers, and you raise their pay, raise the amount of money that's coming to them because you get that big gift, quote unquote, from the federal government, which is just taxpayer money.
Yeah.
And now they have to figure out the difference. But remember, they're saving us from ourselves by keeping the lottery out of Alabama. Don says, good morning, Dan and Dalton. As with any potentially habitual activity, there's always that possibility. However, that is a personal choice that should be left up to the individual to make, just as the right to vote on it should also be our choice. Texter here says, my problem is not gambling, it's growing government. Where will the taxes get cut for the offset? Now, that's a valid argument. If your argument against Alabama legalizing and regulating gambling is because you don't want to see more power flow to the state, that's a totally valid argument. Mm-hmm. And I completely get where you're coming from there.
One word will explain all that. Cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Not only power to the state, but
the ability to mess it up.
Thank you.
Yeah, which they've certainly done.
I couldn't find those words, and you did.
Mixter says, the actual big winner is every lotto store lined up around the state. Amen. What's more addictive, having a sports betting app on your phone or having the Amazon shopping app? That is a great question,
yeah,
Mixter.
You talk about the convenience of it, but at the same time, who abuses that? I guess there are people out there that's almost an addiction, right?
The Real Sam says, Quinn is a contrarian on almost everything. Let's take a step back and look at that. Maybe we are the contrarians.
Yeah.
Maybe
could be.
FM Talk 106.5 is the one going against the grain, and then Quinn just has the general general attitude.
Well, I kind of agreed with him with some on Biden and Israel, but mm-hmm. anyway.
Gardner says, taxation without representation. Greg, let's see here. All right, I'll text you back on that, Greg. G-Man, Quinn says gambling doesn't help Alabama, Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi. Good job, Quinn. Keep it up. I don't know if that's sarcasm there from G-Man. Texter here says Quinn is like the old uncle that none of the kids want to go visit. Oh, come on. And a lot of text about our conversation with Quinn.
Jerry woke up on the wrong side of the doghouse this morning, so I don't know what his deal is. But anyway, keep on texting. Jerry, you're something. 858 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. And Jeff Poor is straight ahead.